First John chapter 1 and the first four verses is what we're going to read here this morning. First John chapter 1, verse 1. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. That's a good thing. Let's stand while God's word is being read, and I'm going to read the first four verses. And as Warren just lit those candles and talked about joy, let's keep our eyes open and ears open for the word joy as we read here this morning. Chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. When I was a youngster, I used to love to go grocery store shopping with my mother. Our local grocery store was a place called Foodland, which was similar to Food Lion, only it was called Foodland. And every year at Christmas time, at Foodland, the grocery store, they would set aside one corner of the store and sell large toy presents. And I used to love to go with my mother, and I knew exactly where it was. You walked in the front door, you went all the way to the right, and you went down that aisle, which I believe was the produce aisle, and there in the back corner, they used to have about 5, 7, or 8 different toys, some with the girl flavor, some with the guy flavor, and it was just a place where you just stood there as a child and just looked, and you just wished, and you just hoped. And well, one year, it was 1961, I was 8 years old, and I was at the grocery store with my mother, and I knew that these new toys would be on display. So I went back there, and sure enough, here's the new toys for 1961, and there it was. I knew this is what I wanted. It was an electric football game. Who remembers the electric football game? It was a toy, it was about this big, about this wide, it was kind of thin, and it was a thin sheet of metal, and you had these football players and you put on it. Well, I'll get into that here in a second. Well, that's what I wanted. I wanted this electric football game. You know, if this would make me so happy if I would wake up on Christmas morning and this big box, this electric football game, would be under the Christmas tree. So I threw some hints to my mom that this is kind of what I wanted. And sure enough, Christmas morning, underneath the tree, there it was, this big box, and it was that electric football game. Oh, I was just so happy. If I got any other presents that Sunday morning, I have no idea what they were, because it was only that electric football game that I wanted to open and play with. And I opened it up and hooked it up. And if you remember the electric football game, you had 22 of these little players. They were about an inch high. And there was 11 yellow players and 11 red players. And you faced them against each other, and one guy would have the little football that you kind of put under his arm because he was already faced like this, you know. And you put him in there, and then you turn the game on it because it was electric, and the surface vibrated. And you could control the amount of vibration. There's a little knob there, and the more it vibrated, supposedly the faster the players would go. And I just had fun playing with that. It just made my whole Christmas, and it was fun, and I invited my friends and my family. We would play until, you know, eventually, and it didn't take long. The way the players worked was on the bottom, there's these two little pieces of plastic that were vertical, and they would rub up against the playing field. And there come a time when the players no longer went forward. You know, you turn it on and you didn't know which direction these players were going to go. Sometimes they would go sideways, sometimes they went forward, sometimes they went backwards. And it got to the point where you knew which ones went backwards, so you lined them up backwards so they'd go forwards. And it was good, but and you'd even turn up the vibration a little bit so they would vibrate and go. But after a while, none of the players would work just the way they were supposed to work, and it just wasn't a fun game anymore. And at our house, when things just weren't fun anymore, we had a closet in one of the downstairs bedrooms, and it was like the black hole. It just went in there, and whatever went in there just never seemed to come back out again. And that was okay. That was the end of my happiness in the electric football game for that season. Well, remember that story. We'll get back to that game here in a second. Right now, we're in our third week of the season of Advent. It's the season that leads up to Christmas. And we have the Advent wreath here. And today, Warren lit three candles. We lit a third candle today. And each candle and each Sunday is represented by a different word. And Warren shared those with us here this morning. The first week, the first candle was hope. Hope is that object that I expect to obtain. And that object is eternal life for all who believe. And I would say this, that I don't hope that my eternity is secure. I would say this, my eternity is secure because I have hope. Last week we said this, hope changes our hearts. In week number two, we lit a second candle, and that candle was for peace. And we're not speaking of peace as the world knows it, but peace that us believers have because it's a fruit of the Spirit. We have the Spirit dwelling within us. And it's the peace that helps us overcome worry and anxiety that are brought on by the difficulties of this world. And I think we would all admit to the fact that this world has its share of difficulties. But we came to the conclusion last week that peace, it guards our hearts. And today we're going to move into our third word of this Advent season, and that word is joy. And just like the word peace from last week, joy is also a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is joy is the second word that I mentioned there. And if hope changes our hearts, and if peace guards our hearts, then I'm going to say this. Joy excites our hearts. And that would be our first fill in the blank this morning. Joy excites our hearts. It excites our hearts. And it's important not to confuse joy with happiness. Happiness is temporary. I was happy when I first got that electric football game. And it kept me happy for a while until the game just didn't operate the way it was supposed to operate. And then I was no longer happy, and then it went into the black hole of the closet. And it's also important to know that happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus never promises happiness. Let me say that again. Jesus never promises happiness. Jesus does promise joy, and he promises it over and over and over again. Joy will last for eternity. It is a gift of the Spirit, and it's a gift to all true believers. In John chapter 16, verse 22, Jesus says this to his disciples, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." No one will take away your joy. In this statement, Jesus not only promises joy, but he adds that no one will ever take it away. A believer's joy will remain forever. So why should I have joy in my life? Why should I be excited? Wasn't I listening to the message last week when I said that believers have worries and anxieties in their lives over family and financial and health and past issues? Every day has its challenges, doesn't it? So why should I be excited, and why should I even have joy? Does this mean that I have to walk around with a smile on my face all day pretending that I have this joy when in reality, with the world, I'm facing challenges? Well, the answer to those questions rests in the priorities that you and I set for our lives. Let me ask this question. I don't want to see hands raised or anybody answering. Just kind of think of the answer yourself. What is the absolute worst situation that can happen to a person? The absolute worst situation that could happen to a person. Let me give you some possible answers. That person could have cancer. That person could have been in a bad automobile accident. That person could be going through an ugly divorce. That person could be addicted to drugs or alcohol. That person could have experienced the death of a child. That person could have lost their job. Let's face it, the world is full of disappointment and tragedy because we live in a fallen world that has fallen because of sin. And these are all tough situations that I've mentioned. And I will say this personally, that I really don't want to go through any of those things that I just mentioned. Cancer, an automobile accident, a divorce, an addiction, experience the death of a child, a loss of a job. I won't want to see that for me, or I won't want to see that for any of you. For as difficult as these might sound, none of these situations qualifies for the absolute worst situation that a person can encounter. What is that worst situation? It's this. The worst situation a person could encounter would be dying and spending eternity in hell. That is the absolute worst situation a person could encounter. They would hear Jesus tell them this, "I never knew you. Away from me. Depart from me, you evildoers." That, my friends, is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. And that pain lasts for an eternity. So, why do I have joy in my life? Well, I'm going to give you my answer based on the worst situation that could happen. Why is my heart excited? Because I know, and I believe many of you do too, because of God's promises, that the worst thing that could ever happen to a person is never going to happen to me. Amen? It's never going to happen to me. It's never going to happen to you. We have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and my hope, therefore, is in the eternal life that He has promised me. And my joy rests in the security of that eternity. Key word, the security of that eternity. I teach eternal security because the Bible teaches eternal security. So let me ask you, if my eternity is not secure, if I can't stand here with all the confidence in the world and say that I know that I have eternal life, could I truly have joy if I knew that I could lose my salvation? I would have to say the answer to that would be no. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, when I was taking classes towards my ordination, I was riding in a car with a guy. There was about five of us in a car. And we were talking about sin. And he said this, "Every time I sin, I lose my salvation." First thing I thought to myself was, how sad. And I asked him, I said, "Roger," his name was Roger. I said, "Roger, what about now? Are you saved now?" And he said, "Yes." And I waited about 5 seconds, and I asked him again. I said, "Roger, how about now? Are you saved?" He said, "Yes." And then my buddy next to me kind of caught on. So about 10 seconds later, he asked him, "Roger, what about now? Are you saved?" Could you imagine going through life not knowing from one minute to the next, am I going to have eternal life or not? That would be pretty sad. That would be a pretty sad life to lead. Joy and the assurance of that eternity have to go hand in hand. And this morning, I want us all to have joy this morning over the assurance we have of that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross and the salvation that we have in believing in that sacrifice. I'm going to read a few different verses, starting with the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we're going to start filling the blanks here this morning of why we should have joy based on the assurance of our salvation. And if you walked in here thinking, I think I can lose my salvation, my prayer is that you walk out of here knowing that you won't. Let's start with John chapter 3, verse 36. God's Word says this in verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now, I'm going to turn over to John 5:24 and read another statement that Jesus says, and there's going to be some similarities here. Jesus says this in 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. And then one more, John 6:47 says this, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Now, there's something that is very common in those three statements, and that is this. Eternal life, if we are Christians, we're going to say, I have eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment that we are born again by the Holy Spirit. The moment you first believed. Do you remember the moment that you first believed? The moment that maybe you made that altar call, that you took the walk forward, or however it happened in your life. I don't know how it happened. I know how it happened to me. That moment that you first believed, you had eternal life. In the true believer's life, there is a moment of spiritual birth, and it's at that moment that your spirit is born again. So what should our first fill-in-the-blank say? Our first fill-in-the-blank should say this. Eternal life is not only a future tense promise, it is a present tense reality. It is a present tense reality. So many people think that I have eternal life. It's not going to start happening until I die. And that's true that we will move on into eternity, into the bliss of heaven. But eternal life starts right now, my friends. It starts right now. It's a present tense reality. We need to remember that. And I don't know about you, but that gives me joy to know that I will not lose what God has freely given me. Let's move to our next fill in the blank and let's look for more words of assurance of how we can have joy in our life through the assurance that He gives us. John chapter 6, verse 35 through 37 says this, Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Our fill in the blank would say this, all that the Father gives to Christ, Christ will never drive away. That's not my promise, that's His promise. He's never going to drive us away. You see, the way the Bible explains it is Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and the bride is the church. And the Father is going to give this bride to His Son as a gift. And Jesus says this, that all that the Father gives me, I'm never going to drive them away. Never. Don't ever drive them away. Let's move on. John chapter 10. We're going to spend some time in John here this morning. John chapter 10, verses 25 through 30. Jesus says this, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Our fill in the blank says this, Jesus gives us eternal life. There's a good word there. He gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish. We shall never perish. He says this, I and the Father are one. You can't snatch me, nothing, no one, Satan, nothing else can snatch you out of the hands of the Father. No one can snatch you out of the hands of Jesus Christ. And here, you will never perish. And no one's going to take you away. No one is going to take you away. Nothing is going to take you away. I'm just going to stop right there. The security that I know that I have in the hope that I have in Jesus Christ is what gives me joy. It's what gives me joy. And it's verses like this that I read that I know that that joy has been made complete because it will never perish. Now we're going to look at some verses in the epistles, three more. We'll go through these rather quickly to establish once again that we are secure and that security should give us joy. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and the law of death. There is no more any condemnation for those who are in Christ. Do you ever have those moments where you feel like, oh, I am so unworthy? Do you ever have those moments when the devil just keeps on picking on you, picking on you, picking on you, keeps on telling you how worthless you are, how miserable your life has been, how unworthy you are to be a servant of him? Well, what you need to tell him is this. Listen, Satan, there is no condemnation for me because I am in Jesus Christ. So go take your temptation to go tempt somebody else and not me, because I am not condemned. When we feel condemnation, that's Satan trying to knock on your door, my friends. Tell him to go get lost. How about this? Tell him to go to hell. How many preachers would say that in a church on a Sunday morning? That's exactly where he needs to be. You know what? Let's tell it like it is. He's trying to tell me to go to hell. I'm going to tell him that he needs to go to hell because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to remember that, my friends. So no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Let's move on to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Let's establish this fact just a little bit more. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says this, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Key verse number 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Our fill in the blank says this, God began the good work in us and he will see it through unto completion. He began it, he's going to see it through unto completion. And what does Paul say there? Being confident of this. That's a key word that we need to remember as believers, that we need to have confidence in the salvation that he has given us. He began the good work in us, and he will see it through unto completion. And then our last and final fill in the blank we're going to get from the epistle of 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll conclude with that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Says this, as soon as I find it here, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. Our last fill in the blank would say this, our inheritance is shielded by God's power. My goodness, if it's shielded by His power, if He's for us, who can be against us? There's no weapon formed against me that's going to prosper. Our inheritance is shielded by God's power. And I have a real good idea that he can pretty much thwart off any opposition that comes his way against me and against you as a believer. Amen? Amen. Do you have joy in your life? Do you have joy in your life? There's probably other reasons and other good reasons why we have joy. And I'm just bringing out one of them, which is the assurance of the security and assurance of our salvation. Is your joy complete? I certainly hope you don't walk around every day wondering, I wonder if I'm saved or not. I wonder if I'm saved or not. I wonder if I'm saved or not. Don't be like my friend Roger, who never knows from one second to the next, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? Do you know that if you're sitting here today and you are a true believer, that your eternity is secure? Here's six verses, and there's many more that attest to that. And just think, because of that security that we have, that the absolute worst thing that can happen to me or happen to you is never going to happen. And that excites my heart. And I hope it excites your heart too. We must remember, however, that the free gift of eternal life does not give us, in any way, shape, or form, a license to sin. And that's a sermon for another series. The free gift of eternal life is a calling to a life of holiness and a life of striving to be Christ-like. We are, remember, a new creation in Christ, and we must live accordingly. Hope changes our hearts, and peace guards our hearts, and joy should excite our hearts. All because unto us a child was born, and to us a son was given. And he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And I know this, he saved a wretch like me. That I'll never understand. But I buy into the promise that someday him and I are going to see face to face. And that gives me joy. Now the words of this Advent wreath are ringing even more true. The birth of a Savior. We should be given our Savior presence, shouldn't we, for what He has done? But instead, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the present of hope that He gave us. Last week, we talked about the presence of peace that He gave us. And today, we've talked about the present of joy that He's given us. And next week, there's one more candle to light. Let's see what He brings us next week. Let's go to God in prayer.